Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Danielle Azarova and we begin with the news. President Václav Klaus has signed a decision on the appointment of 21 new judges, all of whom are over 30 or will turn 30 this year, and sent it to Prime Minister Stanislav Gross for counter-signature. The president last week refused to appoint 32 trainee judges who had not yet reached the age of 30 on the grounds that they were too young for such a responsible post. His decision evoked strong criticism since the Czech Republic is suffering from a lack of judges and has lost several court cases in Strasbourg over protracted proceedings. The Prague State Attorney's Office has asked the police to bring charges against the Minister for Information Technology, Vladimír Mlynář, in connection with the transfer of state funds to a private company which he founded in 2003. The minister was unable for comment. His spokeswoman, Klára Volná, said that he had not received any information through official channels and would definitely comment on the matter when he did. In October of 2003, Mr. Mlynář assigned Testcom, a company subsidized and supervised by the state, to fund a private company of a similar name. He earmarked 7.5 million crowns from Testcom's budget for this purpose. The Prague region east of Prague is on flood standby in view of the thaw and the vast amount of snow on the ground. Firemen and emergency crews are monitoring the situation and preparing to take coordinated action should the water levels rise sharply. Volunteers have been filling sandbags and there is heavy machinery on standby should it be necessary to remove ice barriers from the rivers. The next few days are expected to bring a significant rise in day temperatures up to 15 degrees Celsius, and there is more snow on the ground than the country has seen in over 40 years. All dams have been partially emptied out in preparation of the thaw, but experts say floods on local scale cannot be ruled out. Analysts say they expect a drop in the price of many food products on the Czech market. The reason is last year's abundant harvest and tough competition in the farming industry after EU accession. Among the products whose prices are likely to drop are potatoes and other vegetables, eggs, pasta and baked goods. And finally, a look at the weather forecast. Tuesday is expected to be partly cloudy with day temperatures between 6 and 10 degrees Celsius. Day temperatures on Wednesday are expected to rise still further to between 12 and 16 degrees. I'm Daniela Lazarova and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Kate Barrett. In today's program, competition to replace the Russian-made subway cars in the Czech Republic is heating up. Czech children try to chase winter away using their ancestors' ancient traditions. And in today's Czech Science, Brain Week highlights the latest neurological research in the Czech Republic. That and more coming up, so don't go away. Just about every tram and trolley bus now operating in the Czech Republic was built by a company now owned by the transport engineering company, Škoda Holding. But while the Pilsen-based company is the undisputed master of the above-ground rails, having bought out or partnered with the country's leading bus and railroad manufacturing companies, it's been less successful on its home turf, underground, which has been the domain of the German engineering group Siemens. Brian Kennedy has more.
Ukončete, prosím, výstup a nástup. Dveře se zavírají.
The Prague metro system, which turned 30 last year, now transports some 400 million passengers each year along its 50-odd kilometers of tracks. In a few short years, the system is due for a major overhaul. The C line that runs north to south is currently being expanded, and a whole new line is planned. Siemens, the German engineering concern, won the tender to outfit the C line with new trains to replace the Soviet-era fleet destined for the scrap heap. But the A and B metro lines are still up for grabs, and with planning for a fourth D line underway and talk of a fifth, dozens of new subway carriages will be needed. The engineering giant Škoda Holding wants a piece of the action underground. Škoda Holdings has been cranking out trams and trolleys, buses and metro cars for export to places like the United States and Russia for over a decade, and until now, Škoda Holding has been content to focus on the lucrative export market. But company managers believe they will have an easier time competing for foreign contracts if they can also point to success on the domestic market. Škoda Holding began testing a prototype metro train late last summer. It is the first underground carriage line entirely of its own production. Previously, the Pilsen-based company had concentrated on modernizing the bulky Russian-made carriages. But the company has now made clear that it wants its new model to run on the Prague Metro, and so will go head-to-head with Siemens in a couple of years, when the tender to outfit the B Metro line is officially launched.
Thanks, Brian. By 2008, the Russian-made subway cars will be entirely phased out. By May of this year, every subway car on the C line will be made by Siemens. Rosie Johnston went along to the Siemens factory in Zlicin, once the site of the world's largest streetcar factory.
I'm here in the Siemens factory in Zlicin, which is at the end of Prague Metro's Yellow Line. Siemens are supplying the Prague Underground system with 48 new trains and entirely overhauling the operation of its red line, Line C. They bought this factory 2 years ago from a bankrupt Czech company who were already making the trains. Company spokesman Petr Sedláček tells me just how they found it.
This factory has been designed in the old times, which means the original intention was that this factory was supposed to build tram cars for the whole Central and Eastern Europe in times in peace and SS-20 rockets in times of war, which means that we have found a lot of interesting machinery that we couldn't use. And we have also found interesting rooms and spaces under the ground. And this was actually one of the difficult things about this factory, this reconstruction from the SS-20 purposes.
And what did Siemens then do with the SS-20 rocket making? Equipment, or is
this a secret? No, definitely not. We have just sold it for the price of the iron. You cannot use these things for anything else. Cranes, special cranes and special equipment, which was definitely not useful.
Siemens didn't just redesign the factory, they also redesigned the trains it produced. Mr. Sedláček talked me through the differences between the new metro cars and those of yore.
The cars are not made out of steel, they are made out of aluminium, which makes them very light, and the cars do not destroy the railway surface that much. It's made only from non-toxic and non-flammable materials, which is very good for if there would be any problems in the tunnels, there's actually no danger for the passengers. And, for example, one of the most important things is that this train cannot get broken. And if it gets broken in a tunnel, it always comes to a station. It never can stop in the tunnel.
And how does that work?
Well, it's a Siemens secret. We just know how to do that. The trains have a lot of security systems. So if something goes wrong and the train would stop, it always reaches the nearest station. Always.
Despite train tracks leading from the station right to the start of the metro, it's not as simple as just trundling a new train onto the tracks.
When the cars and trains are produced, they go to a testing circle, and the final test is an 8 hours non-stop drive, and where everything has to really work 100% perfectly, smoothly, without any troubles. And first then, the train can get the certificate from the railway authority and can be allowed for normal traffic.
Ukončete, prosím, výstup a nástup, dveře se zavírají.
That was Rosie Johnston touring the Siemens factory in Zlicin. Well, there's a lot more sun in Prague this week, and it might have something to do with an ancient ritual that was performed this weekend.
My dneska vynášeli tu morénu. Šli jsme ji zapálit k botiči.
This little girl is saying that they have just taken Morena out to the river, set her on fire, and thrown her in the river, so that winter will leave and spring will finally come. It sounds pretty drastic, but in fact, Morena is nothing more than a scarecrow who represents old woman winter. The ancient custom of chasing out winter and welcoming spring dates back to pagan times and was celebrated at Prague's Tolcův dvůr this weekend. Tolcův dvůr is an environmental education center where children have a chance to learn about ecology and old Czech traditions. Nikola Brabanek was there to see old woman winter go up in flames.
tu morenu zaklejem mlékem a krví, zasvítání polejem.
I'm here at Dolcův dvůr and it's still winter. There's snow everywhere. There's a cold breeze, but the birds are singing, and today we'll be saying goodbye to winter. So I'm going to speak to Martina Chvátilová about this ancient tradition.
It's the old Czech tradition. We make a puppet that's called Mařina or Morava, Morena. It depends on the part of Bohemia in which this custom is being practiced. So this puppet, people carry it, and while carrying it, they sing a song about, which is something like, winter, you bad woman, now we take you down to the river, and the winter will be over.
So now we're walking with the witch in the front, held by two boys, and she's made of straw and wearing a flowered dress. And people are coming behind and singing a song marking the end of winter. What do you think your children are getting out of the experience of doing something like an old Czech tradition?
I would like to learn my children as much roots as possible, including, I mean, old traditions, because, I mean, this is our life, our history is our treasury, and that's important to keep it and to go on with.
So we've now come to the river, gathered at the edge of the river with Baba, the old woman of winter, and we're going to light her up.
Jaro, už je tu!
And they're lighting her up, or attempting to. So it's not good to look to see whether she's floating or not once she's thrown into the river and is lit on fire. Now one is supposed to run away.
That was Nikola Bravinek reporting from Dolcův dvůr. You're listening to Radio Prague, where it's time now for Czech Science with Pavla Horáková. The brain is the most complex structure of the human body. Despite enormous advances in brain research, in industrialized countries, disorders of the brain and the central nervous system remain the leading cause of disability and account for more hospitalizations and prolonged care than almost all other diseases combined. This week, the Czech Republic is joining other countries in Brain Awareness Week, a series of events held around the world to increase public awareness of the progress and benefits of brain research.
This is Brain Awareness Week. Did you know that every 3 minutes, someone somewhere dies of a stroke? Others are permanently
disabled. This week,
disabled.
Radio announcements like this one, information leaflets, public lectures, and other events aim to raise awareness of the importance of brain research worldwide. The Czech scientific community has prepared a series of public lectures presenting the latest in neuroscientific research in the Czech Republic. The president of the Czech Neuroscience Society, Professor Josef Sika.
I would say that several disciplines are going through quite new research. I would say that the stem cell research is going quite well. Also several aspects of the research in neuropsychiatry is comparable with the research in the world, not speaking about the new research in mediators and synaptic transmission, plasticity, etc. So I believe the situation in neuroscience research in Czech Republic is relatively good. There are several teams that have European, even world standards. And I hope very much that there will be enough finances to support it.
Professor Eva Siková is the head of the Institute of Experimental Medicine of the Czech Academy of Sciences. She's one of the leading figures in Czech stem cell research.
In Czech Republic, we have a so-called Center for Cell Therapy and Tissue Repair. And the program of the center, which combines five institutions in our country as a leading academy institutes and clinical departments, the aim is to study the basic things about the stem cells, about embryonic stem cells, about adult stem cells, particularly from bone marrow, and then their use for treatment of various diseases.
The team of Professor Eva Siková is chiefly concerned with stem cell research concerning the brain and spinal cord.
My team is particularly interested with brain repair and spinal cord repair. So we have various experiments on animals where we use these stem cells, plus the biomaterials like hydrogels and nanofibers to make a scaffold and so all sort of bridges for injury in spinal cord. And also we use the nanotechnologies. The nanotechnologies particularly we are using for labeling the stem cells and for following their migration into tissue and fate. And also the nanoparticles can be used for delivery of factors which enhance regeneration.
Professor Eva Siková, a leading Czech stem cell researcher. As you may know, there is a lot of controversy over stem cell research, particularly in some countries. So in a future Czech Science, we'll be talking to Eva Siková about the legal environment for stem cell research in the Czech Republic. It's time now for One-on-One, our weekly interview program. This week, Ian Willoughby speaks to a Polish priest living and working in the Czech Republic, Father Piotr Krzysztofiak.
My guest today is Father Piotr Krzysztofiak, a Polish-Roman Catholic priest who's been living here in the Czech Republic for the last 8 years. The prior of Prague's Dominican monastery, he's also parish priest of St. Jiljí's or St. Giles's Church. Due to a shortage of Czech priests, there are now around 200 Polish priests serving in the Czech Republic. When I met Father Krzysztofiak at his church in the heart of Prague's old town, he first told me why the Czech church had turned to their Polish brothers for help.
There was a great gap of almost 40 years when it was practically forbidden to accept new vocation and to form new Dominicans, new members of the different religious orders or even diocesan priests. We know that there was one seminary in Litomierzyce, but it was not enough. It was controlled by communists. It was not enough. Of course, the religion was repressed and believers persecuted. That is the reason why here in Czech Republic there is a great number of very old fathers, very old priests. There is the lack of middle generation of the priests. And of course, there are some new vocations, but not a lot. They are very few. In Poland, there is exceptional number of vocations. So that's quite natural that bishop from Czech Republic asked the Polish bishops if they could send some priests and they could come. It is very often we say that Saint Wojciech came from Czech to Poland to bring the faith, and now there is the time to, you know, to repay that benefit.
Did you find when you came here that there were cultural differences which made your work more difficult or possibly even just interesting?
The mentality, the people are very different. I didn't expect such a great difference, that's true. They are a little bit afraid of showing their faith outside, you know. They are convinced by the communist, by the past, that the question of the faith is your private question and you shouldn't show it to the other people, especially in the place where you work.
What about in your parish?
Is there a similar kind of community spirit that you might find in a Polish parish?
No, I would say no. Polish priests are very close to the believers, and the same believers are very close to the priests. In Poland, the priories of these parish houses are open to the believers, and this contact is very close. It's not like here. For us, there are another difficulties. For example, when we want to introduce certain way of praying, you know, we are very often accused that we want to make the Czech church in Polish way.
Do you think that some parishioners would prefer a Czech priest to a Polish priest?
Well, I think so, but that's natural. We could also say that we prefer the priest who comes from our region, not only Czech priests, but, you know, from our region, geographically. That's our priest, the parishioner very often say. And that's understandable, and I agree with it.
What about the issue of language? Did you find it hard to master Czech and give services in Czech?
Well, the Czech language is so close to Polish that is the difficulty. You know, on one hand, it's very easy to learn and to communicate. On the other hand, it's very difficult to speak perfectly Czech language for the Polish. That's because, you know, these words are so similar that very often you mix the words from these two languages. One brother who was here when I came to Prague to our priory told me that I will not learn Czech, but I will forget Polish.
You come from Poland, of course, a country which is well known for being religious. The Czech Republic, on the other hand, is widely known to be quite an agnostic country. Is it harder being a priest in a country where most people don't believe?
Of course it is, but on the other hand, you know, that's very good experience. I learned here a lot. But it also has changed, you know, in the time between the First and the Second World War. There was only approximately 10% of atheists here. So we can observe that is the result of the communism time.
Why do you think the communist system had so much impact in this country, but not in Poland? For example, in Poland, 40 years of communism didn't dampen your religious fervor, so to speak.
During this time, the time of communism here, this communism was very strong. And people, I would say, were more obedient to that system. In Poland, no. People were very resistant for the communism, especially the church, especially the priests. But on the other hand, the time is changing. And now there is democracy, and maybe now Czech listen and are obedient to that new democratic rules. And maybe the impact of the communism on Polish people is the result is that people do not trust the system, also democratic system.
My last question. Poles are famously proud of John Paul II. Do you think that Czechs are in some way proud that the Pope is a Slav? Does it mean much to Czech believers, Czech Catholics, I mean to say?
Yes, I think that many Czech Catholics are proud of the Pope. I would even know many atheists who admire the Pope. But again, that's also the difference of mentality. When you look at the Polish, Poles are very spontaneous. They are a little bit like, showmen. Czechs are more reserved, and even they've got a great success in the sport, or I don't know what. They are not so happy, they do not show that. So I think that's the same. I meet a lot of people who say, yes, this Pope is really clever, is really good. That's really the great symbol of morality. And The same here in Czech Republic, yes, sure. Of course, there is great opposition against the Pope, and not only against the Pope, against the Church. So I would say that the opposition against the Church is much, much greater than against the Pope.
Ian Willoughby was speaking there to Father Piotr Krzysztofiak, the prior of Prague's Dominican monastery. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for today, but if you have any questions or even some comments, please write to us at English Section, Radio Prague, 12099, Prague, the Czech Republic, or, of course, send us an email to english@radio.cz. For now, from me, Kate Barrett, thanks for listening and goodbye.
Poslouchá.